From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. And let's get right to Washington, where today Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu used his speech before a joint session of Congress to warn the U.S. against trusting Iran. He said the proposed deal to curb Iran's nuclear program in exchange for removing economic sanctions on Iran would make the region less safe. Netanyahu said that no deal would be better than the deal being discussed, but he said a better deal was possible.
A better deal that won't give Iran an easy path to the bomb. A better deal that Israel and its neighbors may not like, but with which we could live, literally. And no country has a greater stake than Israel in a good deal that peacefully removes this threat.
That good deal, according to Netanyahu, would include telling Iran to stop aggression against its neighbors, to stop supporting terrorism, and to stop threatening to annihilate my country, Israel, the one and only Jewish state. Greg Myrie is NPR's international digital editor, but a former New York Times correspondent with a lot of time in the Middle East. Greg, what jumped out at you from the speech?
Well, it was such a strong attack on a sitting American president. It'd be very hard to come up with previous examples of that. So that really jumped out at me. Netanyahu made a slight tweak to what he said for years and years, which is Iran's nuclear program needs to be dismantled completely. He did talk about the possibility of a better deal. So both of those things were, I thought, quite interesting.
Yeah, he talked about Iran as a country gobbling up other countries in the Middle East, a conquering marauder. And he also referred to ISIS. Now, we heard yesterday that Iran is assisting in the fight against ISIS in Iraq, helping Iraqi troops to retake the city of Tikrit from ISIS. Here's the prime minister today addressing that notion that Iran is helping fight ISIS.
And don't be fooled. The battle between Iran and ISIS doesn't turn Iran into a friend of America. Iran and ISIS are competing for the crown of militant Islam. One calls itself the Islamic Republic. The other calls itself the Islamic State. Both want to impose a militant Islamic empire, first on the region and then on the entire world.
Greg Myrie, the prime minister equating Iran with ISIS there. Your thoughts?
Right. I mean, he's made these links trying to link groups to ISIS or to al-Qaeda before. I think this might have been felt like a bit of a reach. But what he did touch on was this great complication. I think in the past several years, as the Middle East has imploded and all these countries are breaking up, there's all sorts of contradictions. The U.S. Already is having to cooperate or work with Iran at some level in Iraq. The U.S. is supporting the Iraqi army. Iran is supporting the Iraqi army. So there's these great complications and contradictions. Netanyahu tried to make it clean and simple. Iran is bad. Iran with a bomb is the worst possible scenario. We have to stop that.
Now let's listen to another clip in which he talks about the Jewish people.
The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over.
Greg Myrie, one of the many moments where there was a huge round of applause for the prime minister, but he is facing a tough election, re-election, in just 2 weeks. How do you think this speech played in Israel?
It just played out. I don't know exactly. I can't imagine that it hurt him, and it may have helped him. This Netanyahu's issue through all his elections has been security. I'm the man to protect Israel. Here he put himself or managed to get himself on the largest stage imaginable in front of the U.S. Congress talking about his signature issue. He couldn't have been in a better position from his point of view. We'll have to see how that plays, if Israelis may have thought that undermined the U.S. relationship. But I think Netanyahu could not have been happier to give this speech at this time.
And what about his relationship with the U.S.? His characterization of the deal that John Kerry is hammering out, he says, not a single facility will be demolished, thousands of centrifuges left spinning. They can come up with a bomb in a year, and the only inspections will be by inspectors who can be kicked out, as North Korea also kicked out inspectors. He said it was just a ridiculous deal.
nobody suggests that this deal, even if it happens, will be perfect. And I thought Netanyahu did a very, very precise job of pointing out the potential flaws in this deal. I think he was offered much less in saying what the alternative is. He said there should be a better deal, but he was short on the details there. So I think he gave a good his criticism of the potential deal was much stronger than what the alternative might be.
Yeah. Greg Myrie, NPR's international digital editor and someone well-versed in the ways of the Middle East. Greg, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Well, in his speech today, Prime Minister Netanyahu said he regretted how his address to Congress had become political, saying that never was his intention.
The remarkable alliance between Israel and the United States has always been above politics. It must always remain above politics.
Well, as we know, House Republicans did not consult the White House about inviting Netanyahu, and the White House declined to set up a meeting with President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu. Speaking to reporters shortly after Netanyahu finished his remarks, President Obama said there was nothing new in Netanyahu's address.
And the alternative that the Prime Minister offers is no deal, in which case Iran will immediately begin once again pursuing its nuclear program, accelerate its nuclear program, without us having any insight into what they're doing and without constraint.
For more on this, let's bring in Ron Elving, NPR Senior Washington Editor. Ron, as you listen to those two clips, what has this done to the U.S.-Israeli relationship?
It's going to chill it further, and it has not been particularly warm in recent weeks and months because of the ongoing negotiations with Iran. And let's make the point that the United States is not the only other party in these negotiations besides Iran. We have Russia to deal with, China, European powers, and so this is a multi-level chess game. What's going on here is that Prime Minister Netanyahu has come to the United States and been given the opportunity in a quite spectacular fashion to speak not only to the Congress, which was at his feet and certainly gave him an enormously positive reception, those who attended, but also to the American people and to the Israeli people who are about to vote in 2 weeks. So for the very near term, this is going to remain a chilly relationship. We'll see what happens after that election.
Well, and in fact, President Obama went further in his remarks after Netanyahu's address and talked about the deal that he and Secretary of State John Kerry and others are trying to negotiate with Iran right now in Europe. Let's listen.
But when it comes to this nuclear deal, let's wait until there's actually a deal on the table that Iran has agreed to, at which point everybody can evaluate it. We don't have to speculate. And what I can guarantee is that if it's a deal I've signed off on, I will be able to prove that it is the best way for us to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon.
Now, Ron, as you mentioned, there was a very enthusiastic reception for Netanyahu in the Congress, but there were about 50 congressional Democrats who decided to skip the speech. What are members of Congress saying now?
Members of Congress are saying, well, most of the members of Congress are saying that the Prime Minister hit the ball out of the park, that he was absolutely fabulous, that he reiterated not only the unique relationship between the United States and Israel, but also the doubts that they themselves had been having about this deal that's being negotiated by these different countries with Iran. That is the predominant reaction from Congress, but you do have, as we've said, about 50 Democrats who decided not to attend rather than lend in a sort of mute way their support to Netanyahu's position because they support either his opponent in the election in Israel or they support the president of the United States' right to actually negotiate the deal before he is essentially undercut in promoting whatever agreement is reached by the leader of another country right here in the United States in our nation's capital holding a pep rally. So the other members of Congress who are being more critical of this, for example, you have Dianne Feinstein, California Democrat, herself Jewish, and she has had her own questions about what may be in the deal, but she is also saying, let's wait, let the president bring forth his completed agreement, if there is one, which we have never been assured there will be, and let's then judge it on the actual terms rather than having certain details of it selectively, essentially leaked by the prime minister today to this welcoming audience of primarily Republicans.
Well, and in fact, Dianne Feinstein, even before the speech, had said she didn't think that Netanyahu spoke for all Jews. And we should note that with this election coming up, the speech timing, 11 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, was actually getting close to prime time in Israel. So there was clearly an audience there that Netanyahu was thinking about as well. Ron, I want to ask you about one other thing, and that is that this is all happening as there is a deadline approaching on Friday to keep the Department of Homeland Security funded. What's going to happen there?
It looks like it's going to be funded, Jeremy. In fact, he spoke of the timing. It works well for Speaker Boehner, too, because he had a very tough thing to do today. He brought to the floor of the House the clean funding bill for DHS that the Senate had passed, and he had told his members, I know you guys in my own majority, you other Republicans besides me, hate this. I hate it, too. But the Senate has failed to give us anything else. We have to pass this, or the department will run out of money. So there it is, and they're going to do it primarily with Democratic votes this afternoon.
So crisis averted.
Yes, sir.
Looks like that anyway. Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor. Ron, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
You're listening to Here and Now.